Gracious and loving God, as we turn our attention to these passages and to the beginning of this Lenten journey, I ask that you would guide us and lead us as we talk about these different movements in life, from scarcity to abundance and generosity, from abundance to scarcity. I just pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to hear from your word this morning. In Christ's name. Have you ever experienced one of those movements in life where you went from an experience of scarcity to an experience of abundance? In the Deuteronomy 26 passage that was read for us this morning, the people of Israel were literally living through a movement from a life and experience of scarcity to this incredible life of abundance. In the land of Egypt, where they had lived in oppression, they experienced scarcity. A scarcity of basic needs such as food and water and shelter and clothing, but also a scarcity of security, a scarcity of hope and peace and joy. They were living in the reality of scarcity. But then, after God liberated them and they entered into the promised land, a land that we're told was flowing with milk and honey, what an image of abundance, right? A land flowing with milk and honey. For the first time in their lives, because remember, the generations that had even left Egypt had died in the desert, and now 40 years later, these folks who had been wandering in the desert and experiencing the scarcity of life in the wilderness and life in the desert have now entered the promised land. And they're experiencing abundance, an abundance of food and water and shelter and land. But even more importantly, an abundance of security and hope and joy and peace. The people of God had moved from a life of scarcity to a life of abundance. Abundance in all of its forms, spiritual, material, relational, emotional, was being experienced for the first time by God's people. And the text begs the question, and then, in essence, answers the question, how would the people respond to this new reality, to this new life of abundance? Abundance could lead to selfishness, hoarding, even a loss of faith in God, because they put their trust in what they have rather than trusting in the God. How would they respond to this new, foreign, unknown experience of abundance? Well, to teach them and to train them and how to respond to this reality of abundance, we're told in Deuteronomy that God instructed them in the practice of giving their first fruits. The best of their vines, best of their crops and herds and flocks, the best of everything gathered and devoted to God. I can imagine what that first fruit celebration must have felt like, with vines weighed down by the quantity of things, with the crops in the field literally bowing over, grain so heavy. The fattened calves and the abundance of calves. All of this reality of abundance being laid out before them, but it was being done because in the preceding passage and the passage that comes after it, the reality of scarcity is still there. There's an emphasis on widows and orphans who have significant need. There's an emphasis on aliens and sojourners or immigrants in the land who have significant need. They're experiencing a reality of abundance, but it's taking place for scarcity. And the movement that God invites them to take is a movement from an experience of abundance to an experience of generosity. And this is where we might miss some of the nuance of the passage. Walter Brueggemann and other Old Testament commentators look at this sacrificial system in Israel, and they point to these places where its purpose is outlined. And when you think of the first fruits and everything that would have been gathered, not only then, but then throughout the season, everything that was brought in and was offered to God, what happened? Did it just get burned up on the altar and disposed of? No. We're told that that is what the Levites utilized to provide for the orphans and the widows, the poor and the aliens and sojourners. And God was inviting the people of Israel to make this movement from this incredible first time experience of abundance to practicing generosity. And I would imagine at a couple of levels that had to be hard. I mean, I could imagine somebody kind of thinking to themselves, and it would have been okay, but thinking to themselves, you know, this is my first time. I've never experienced anything like this. This is amazing. This is wonderful. This is a blessing. Now you're telling me to give it up? I could imagine someone thinking to themselves, will there be enough? Will there be enough for my family? Will there be enough for our people if we do this? I can imagine there was a significant amount of doubt and fear. But in the passage, we're told they stepped from this reality of abundance to generosity. And they acted. When we look at the story of Jesus, it's interesting to me that Jesus is almost going in an opposite sort of direction. Jesus goes from, I think, the highest, most supreme form of abundance that any being could ever experience. Jesus goes from, in essence, living in this sort of triune reality of peace and love with God, the Father, and the Spirit, and steps out of that to take on human flesh. And from the very beginning of his birth, It's all about scarcity. It's all about the challenges. I mean, for goodness sakes, at least let him be born in the palace, right? He's born in a place where animals eat and do that other thing that they do after they eat. Because there was no room in the inn. There was a scarcity of place for God's son. And then we see him led into the wilderness to experience scarcity. Not just scarcity of food and water and shelter, but temptation. Jesus stepped out of this realm of absolute bliss and eternal belonging with God to enter into our world and experience scarcity. And what does he do? The minute he steps out of that reality of scarcity, after Luke chapter 4 or Mark 4, wherever the passage is in the other Gospels, what are we told? Practices generosity. Immediately practices generosity. Healing the sick and the lame. Setting the demon-possessed free. Feeding the poor. Lifting up the outcast. Welcoming Gentiles into his presence and into his kingdom. Practices generosity. When I look at these two passages and the movement within these passages of one going from the reality of scarcity to abundance to generosity, or going from scarcity to generosity. When I look at those stories, I have to be honest and I have to acknowledge that the story that I really identify with is just the last two-thirds of Israel's story. I've never really experienced scarcity. Let's be honest. Most of us who have been blessed to live in this culture, to live at this time, have not necessarily experienced this depth of scarcity that they would have experienced in Egypt and in those 40 years of wandering in the desert, but all of their abundance. That I can identify. We live in a reality of abundance. The challenge for us is to practice generosity, to make that movement from the security that comes from abundance, because abundance gives us a lot of things. It gives us hope, it gives us joy, it gives us a sense of peace, it gives us a sense and a feeling of security. And sometimes that security can become something that we want to hoard and we want to protect and we want to make sure that we never lose it. And we think the way to make sure we don't lose it is to hoard it and protect it. But the way to experience security in that, Deuteronomy and Jesus' temptation are teaching us is not to hoard it, not to protect it, practice generosity. That is how we, in essence, protect it. That's not the goal. The goal is to be free, generous, and to share. Like many of you, I'm sure, for a certain amount of time during the day, you're probably glued to the television, watching some of the images coming out of the frame. Here's a people who, because of the wickedness of one person, Vladimir Putin, here is a people who went from an experience of abundance. And security and hope and joy. So much so that when you talk to people and you hear them talk, they emphasize that even though they knew these rumblings were there and maybe this would happen, they didn't think it happened. Sasha Tatera, a young boy who way back in the early 2000s came from Belarus and spent 6 summers with the Dai family when we were in Ohio, is in Belarus. And Susan's been exchanging texts with him as he's gotten back home. And
he is now has a current role in the universe.
Flabbergasted. Never wild.
Power over your life. If you've given your life to him.
That they were actually. But they've gone from this experience of abundance to now an experience of scarcity. There was a reporter. I don't even know what agency they were working for, but they interviewed this elderly woman. She was in her late 70s. She had been walking almost 100 miles with her daughter. Her husband, who was 2 years older than her, close to 80, stayed behind with the sons. And somewhere along the line at one of the train depots, she got separated. They must have gotten on the train. She wasn't sure. She wasn't strong enough to assert herself. So the last 75 miles, foolish prayer. She walked, slept. And when she saw the reporter who was on the Polish side and she crossed over into that, she went to the reporter and she shared her story, innocently asking, "Have you seen my daughter-in-law? Father?" So, quite that specific. But then she did something that was just absolutely remarkable. She held the reporter's hands in her hands. She said a prayer of blessing to her. And then simply said, "God bless them. God is with." And that took me back to this passage where we think that the only figures in this story are Jesus and Satan. And Jesus all alone is going through the experience of scarcity at every level, physical and spiritual. And to make it clear by using this really strange construction, I won't get into all of it, about the declension of the verb and voice of the verb and all this stuff, makes it perfectly clear that from the beginning, he experienced that scare, empowering. And that's what I would encourage you we're in a house. And I think in times like we're looking at right now, God is calling practice generosity, world scarcity, world that is hurting. And to remember that even in that reality of scarcity, even in our reality of abundance, as that old Ukrainian woman said, God is with us. Walking every step. Supporting us in the desert. And always empowering, encouraging, generosity. Let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, first and foremost, just thank you so much for your presence with us. That you walk with us every step of every day, whether our experience is one of scarcity and fear and insecurity, or one of blessing and abundance and security. You're with us. I pray that you would empower us and enable us to practice generosity.